Well, this is you finding your seats. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Petersham Baptist Church. My name is Matt, and I'll be leading this service. This morning, being school holidays, we have the privilege of having the kids join us in the service. It's really great having you in the service with us kids. Looking forward to that. In a little while, Katie's going to do a kid spot. So that should be a lot of fun for us all.
The reading comes from John chapter 15, starting at verse 18. And if you have one of the Pew Bibles, it starts on page 1069. So that's John chapter 15, starting at verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law: they hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from you what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me.
Good morning, everyone. Really good to see you. Why don't we pray together and ask that God would help us with this part of his word. Well, Father, please turn our hearts and our minds now to you. Help us engage with your word and to grow from it, to be enriched from it, to be encouraged, and to be spurred on to keep seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just last week we began a new series here at church, focusing in on thinking about how God is transforming his people. It's called Keeping in Step with the Spirit. You might remember the echo of Galatians. That's where that phrase comes from. And there was a whole bunch of really great questions that arose from last week. Questions like, What does it look like to keep in step with the Spirit? What might it involve? If the Spirit's great work is to shine the spotlight onto Jesus, how do we keep in step with the Spirit that we, with a person we cannot see? And there are also other good questions and statements behind these questions. Questions like, I know what it is to not keep in step with the Spirit. Do you know the dry spells? The dry spells when it's hard to read the Bible, to pray. Is there a way in which we can kind of get out of the desert, climb up the pit, out of the pit? How do we keep in step with the Spirit? Now, we might be concerned about ways in which talking about the Spirit has been abused or misunderstood, but even so, we still want to have a good understanding of the Spirit, that the answer to it is not to run away. We want to be people who keep in step with God's Spirit. These are some of the questions and issues we're trying to answer in this series. And today we turn to what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. We turn to John's Gospel because we find so much description about the Holy Spirit and his work in God's people in John's Gospel. Jesus takes special care to inform his disciples before he departs about the Holy Spirit. Once and only once Jesus departs and goes to the Father will the Holy Spirit come upon the disciples. You might remember from John's Gospel there's those famous phrases, you know, the Spirit blows wherever he pleases. And the conversation with Nicodemus about how to see the kingdom of God you must be born again, which requires new birth by the Holy Spirit. Jesus offers this Spirit to whoever would believe in him. And today we're going to turn to sort of chapters 14 through to 16 in John's Gospel and look at what Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit. First, we just want to might think out loud. Do you ever find that thinking about the Holy Spirit is a little bit difficult? Jesus, I can picture. Jesus, the Son of God, became a man. He took flesh. I can picture that. And the Father, we understand, in light of the Son, there's a Father to the Son, but the Holy Spirit is a little bit harder to picture. Quite possibly because a great deal of the Holy Spirit's work is behind the scenes. But what we don't want to do is to suggest in any sort of way that the Holy Spirit is not personal and it's just some sort of power or force. Instead, we want to see right from the beginning that the Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus described the Holy Spirit as another counselor or another advocate. Now, that's what we find in chapter 14. Jesus described the Holy Spirit as another counselor, very subtly suggesting that as Jesus was a counselor to his disciples, so too will the Holy Spirit be another counselor to the disciples. So rather than thinking that the way that Jesus ministered to his disciples and the way that the Holy Spirit will minister to disciples is completely different, we want to see that there's going to be a great deal of overlap. Another counselor. The Spirit will minister in a way that's similar to the way Jesus encouraged and strengthened his disciples. And this is going to be a special privilege of Jesus' disciples. Just as the world did not know Jesus, nor recognize Jesus, Jesus says the world will not recognize or know the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14, verse 17. By contrast, the disciples will know the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14, verse 17. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now, this knowledge must be more than just affirming a creed in church. There must be some sort of experience of knowing the Holy Spirit. And so the question we want to ask ourselves today, what does it mean to know the Holy Spirit? There's experiential knowledge of being born again and having the Spirit within you. Now, some might be a little bit nervous at this point. A little bit nervous about things that have been said in other churches or by other Christians that you don't agree with. We might be nervous by the very subjective way this discussion can kind of unfold, where it all comes down to what I feel. But the Bible and Jesus suggests more than just being able to affirm we believe in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is to be experienced and known. And this is how the disciples will know that they have not been abandoned by Jesus. The Spirit will be with them. So this is the question we're going to trace through John. What does it mean to know the Spirit? Let's turn to what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit and his work. And one of the first passages we're going to zoom in on is chapter 14, verse 25. Jesus says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The Spirit would lead God's people. The Spirit would lead the disciples to remember the great teaching that Jesus had brought to them. You might remember at the time of the crucifixion that the disciples scatter and go into hiding. And even after the resurrection, they seem unaware of the enormity of what has just happened. This is not simply dullness. It's spiritual blindness. It's the flesh. And yet when the disciples receive the Holy Spirit, they're capable of understanding what was right in front of them the whole time. Only once they receive the Holy Spirit do the disciples find their feet, so to speak. Being convicted of what Jesus taught them and what he taught them to do. This was not a brand new teaching that the Holy Spirit brought, so much as that the penny dropped for them of what Jesus taught them. The Holy Spirit led them to understand Jesus and his teaching in fullness. The Holy Spirit reminded the disciples of everything Jesus said to them. You can see how important this would be for that group. Jesus particularly picked out these disciples to be his apostles, his first ambassadors. A number of these apostles would have taken the task of writing down and recording for all Christians the Gospels and other New Testament documents. And so I think there's something particular here for the apostles as first ambassadors, as those who would write the New Testament. So the Holy Spirit would particularly work in them, teaching them and reminding them of all that Jesus said. And yet, there's an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. Because the understanding and knowledge, the maturity that you and I might have, is not because of our intellect, is it? Or not only because. The truth of the Scriptures have come to us because the Holy Spirit has impressed their truth upon us. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us to understand God as he's revealed in Scripture. Sometimes we understand the Scriptures as we apply ourselves to understand them. Sometimes it's through the explanation that a teacher imparts. I'm sure we can all speak about how I heard things a million times and yet on the 1,000,001st time, the penny dropped. How else do we account for comprehending God and his Word other than the Holy Spirit? To know the Holy Spirit is to come to know and realize and be convicted of the truth of the gospel and God's word. Now, the second thing we want to say this morning, just like last week, as God works in his people, God gives his people a new purpose. And this is what Jesus spoke about when he again spoke about the advocate in chapter 15, verse 26. Chapter 15, verse 26, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify. Jesus was preparing his disciples to be his ambassadors. They would have a purpose in God's great purpose of sending out the saving news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And the Holy Spirit would play a key role in this. The Holy Spirit testifies to Jesus, and the apostles will also testify about Jesus. The Holy Spirit would provide not only the conviction of the truth, but the power to stand up and testify. All the way through this section of John's Gospel, we hear about the opposition that will be from the world to the disciples. Jesus prepared his disciples for mission in a hostile world. The Holy Spirit would enable the apostles to stand up in the crowd and proclaim God's wonderful news of salvation. Their weakness would be overcome by the Spirit's power. Their timidity would be overcome by the Spirit's strengthening. This same Spirit continues to be at work in God's people. Paul would remind Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power and love and sound judgment. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, writes Paul. And Paul himself would even ask the churches to pray for him. Pray also for me, he writes in Ephesians 6, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. So to know the Holy Spirit, then is to know that the boldness to testify did not come from within, but from the Spirit working within, working powerfully through our weakness. And we do know these times, don't we? Occasions when we reflect on conversations we had with friends or families or neighbours, conversations about the gospel, and we marvel at, in hindsight, at the opportunity that arose, our ability to explain to them and answer their questions. And we reflect on these times and say it as a prayer point to one another, it was all of God enabling me to speak, giving me this opportunity to speak the wonderful news of Jesus and answer questions. It was God at work. And yet not only will God enable his people to testify about Jesus, God will work in the audience. God will work in the world, in the hearts of men and women to receive that good news. The disciples may well have been unsure about how on earth would they share the wonderful news of Jesus with the world. And Jesus explained, chapter 16 now, verse 7, but very truly I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. To know the Holy Spirit, then, is to know why we have undergone a change of heart. The Holy Spirit proves to the world, by working in the hearts of men and women and children, the truth about sin and righteousness and judgment. Is it not a wonderful work of God that Peter, of all people, on the day of Pentecost, stands up and in the crowd, raises his voice and proclaims, God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And then God is at work in the crowd as well, in the hearts of those who heard. People are cut to the heart and they respond, what shall we do? Not only does God enable disciples to speak, God disarms the hard hearts, breaking down our hardness, breaking through our ignorance. God works in the speaker and the audience so that people come to a knowledge of the truth. This is the work that God has done in our hearts. Now, whether God slowly or dramatically disarms your skepticism or cynicism, whether God broke down your apathy or antagonism to God. Either way, God was at work by his Spirit, changing our hearts, convicting our minds of the goodness of the gospel, convicting us that God is real and that salvation can be found in Christ alone. Without this work, each one of us will remain spiritually dull and hardened to even the most wonderful news we've ever heard. To know the Holy Spirit, then, is to know the person who moved our hearts from unbelief to belief. And finally, the Spirit will guide in all truth. Chapter 16, verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The prophets of the Old Testament spoke of the New Covenant, of a time when God would write the laws on the heart. The Spirit is doing that work within us. This guiding work, as the Spirit guides us in all truth, is not to a different revelation, but the Spirit will speak only what he hears from the Father. And while the Spirit will instruct the disciples of what is yet to come, I think we need to understand that Jesus said this particularly to the disciples. We should not think that the Spirit will bring up fuller and deeper and different revelation than what we have in Scripture, because Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the Word that reveals the Father. But the Spirit will be crucial in all followers of Jesus sensing and appreciating the fullness of Jesus and living in light of that. No doubt there's been times when we've matured and grown as Christians, times when we came to understand and appreciate something we previously had not, or quite possibly understand and appreciate something far deeper than we ever did before. This too is the work, not of our doing, but of God's Spirit guiding his people in all truth. Whenever there's growth or maturity in understanding and loving God, or growth and maturity in obedience, we can detect the work of the Spirit. It's not as if we say, let go and let God, but it's also true that it's not always that we can discern what is happening to us. In hindsight, we look back and think, that was a time of tremendous growth. God was at work, guiding his people in truth and guiding them to live in that truth as well. And friends, this has certainly been the case in our church. The Holy Spirit has been guiding people here. One of the first things that Dave and I have been doing this week is moving around and talking to various people and various leaders of ministries, asking them, how did Club Love start? How did community dinners begin? And every time it's only too clear that the Holy Spirit has been guiding people in our church. As Dave or I asked how things began or how things have taken shape, over and over again we heard the stories of how people said, I felt convicted, encouraged, I sensed the need, I considered a new avenue, I never thought God would want to use me in this ministry. God opened doors, the ministries began to take shape, and the end result is clearly not something that we engineered. It's a work of God. But more than just stories of new ministries beginning, these conversations have been stories of how men and women have been keeping in step with the Spirit, seeking to respond to the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. The Holy Spirit enables us to live well, wisely, with what God is doing in his world, As we grow and mature in our knowledge and love of God, as we are convicted and brought into greater obedience to God, that growth is proof of God's good work in you by His Holy Spirit. You might ask, how will I then keep in step with that good work? Sometimes it's easier to see in hindsight how God was working. Is there a way to recognise in the present God's good work? Well, I don't think I want to throw at you a kind of 3-point, 5-point formula, because the Spirit blows where He pleases. But there is a real sense, isn't there, when we sense we're not keeping in step with the Spirit. When we go through the dry patches. When things are hard, when prayer is hard, when reading the Bible, when turning up to church is hard. What can we do in those times? Well, all through this section, as Jesus explains the work of the Spirit, in a world that will be hostile to the gospel and the work of the Spirit, Jesus calls his disciples, chapter 15, verse 4, to remain in him. Remain in me, chapter 15, verse 4, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I don't think it's quite simply that by obeying Jesus' commands you keep in step with the Spirit, but I think obedience is required for keeping in step with the Spirit. And so, if at any possibility for you today is a dry spell, if you feel like at the moment it's that kind of desert-like experience where things are hard as a Christian, can I just ask you, do you want to know God? Do you want to grow in wisdom? Are we prepared to testify about Christ? Do we want to respond to how God is convicting us of sin and challenging us and guiding us in truth? Or has something else got our attention? Remain in Christ. Keep in step with that Spirit. When God's Spirit convicts us of our rebellion and the truth of the gospel, when God's Spirit reminds us of the teaching we've heard and moves us to live differently, when the Spirit prompts us to testify about what Christ has done, and God uses us in His great plans, I take it that is what it means to know the Spirit. What it means the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Brothers and sisters, keep in step with the Spirit that is at work within you. Let's pray and ask that God would help us. Father, we do thank you that you have not left us as orphans, but given us your Holy Spirit. And we praise you and thank you for the work that He has done in our lives, bringing us to our senses so that we could see Christ in all his fullness, prompting us to turn away from sin and follow your good ways. Father, would you please help us, amid so many distractions, to want to know you. Please help us to keep in step with your Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.